Blog Talk Radio.
Not two, not three, but four quarters with Coach Lee. A full game plan, you know, just like a real game. So we do this each and every Monday night here on Blog Talk Radio. Continue, that is. You know, hey, I've been doing this. Is show 98. Show 98, y'all. I've been keeping track. But this is show 98. Man, time rocks and rolls when you're having fun, as I've been told. But anyway, hey, we're going to do this because we do it like we do it, and I'm going to get into it because, hey, I must do it. But I would like to throw out an apology to all my Showgirl fans and all the listeners that was wanting to hear the Showgirl versus the Warriors had some technical difficulties. Not only did my phone shut down, but my announcer didn't get into the game until 7 o'clock. Didn't do his research, didn't realize that the game was moved up to 4 o'clock, and didn't get to the gate until we were actually finishing showering and coming off the field. But anyway, we had some technical difficulties, and I'd like to throw a definite apologies out to not only the fans, but also to the super-duper producer, BJ. And we'll get it right next week. We'll get it right next week, and we'll make sure that we got it going on. But anyway, let's go ahead and move forward. Again, this show is brought to you by Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas, we all should be rocking Adidas. We got Rogers Athletic Company, the official football equipment company of the Women's Football Camping Conference, you know, where the good get better. We got Enterprise, pick Enterprise, why? Because they will pick you up. And we got 20 Second Fitness. You want to get a body like mine? You need to get your 20 seconds in because ain't nobody going to get a body like mine unless you get your 20 seconds in. And then also, you know, last week I was on a T-Mobile phone, you know what I'm saying, and I kept breaking up. So that ain't happening. Coach Lee got his phone, another phone, and he's back up. I should be, you know, nice and clear. If you're on the Ning board, let me know if I'm nice and clear. That's all I need to do is give me a yo-yo, a ho-ho, a something-something. Yes, you're nice and clear. Speaking of the Ning board, that's the Women's Tackle Football Group.Ning.com board. The number one fan book, I ain't going to say book, but board of women's tackle football across the country, the world, and everywhere else. I'd like to throw out a shout to those who are in the Ning, on the Ning board. You got my man Mike B in there. You got Baker. You got BJ. You got Coach Culver. You got myself. Don Dunbar Jr., we got Boo, we got Jackie Price, we got Jennifer, we got Jennifer, what's that, I'm wrong. I can't see that far. We got my girl JK. We got Joey Reese. We got Mac. That's M-A-C. We got Mary Lee Butler. We got Paul. We got Willie Parker. We got it going on. So if you get a chance, please tune in. Oh, yeah, now the roll down. We got my man Randall with the WSFL. Yes, sir. Who? Mr. Josue? I'm taking that to the already. I'll call back. Yeah. All right. So, please take a message. Thank you. I'm on the phone, though. What's your name? I don't know where that pole is. And I don't want y'all bringing the pole down so y'all can try to dump. Anyway, I am back on the scene with a gangster lean. Woo, woo. Because I bring it to you like I bring it to you. You know why? This is a live show. And let's go ahead and, let's talk about what we talk about, because this is where we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the sound of a football coming off a big foot that's kicking it deep. Why? Because that's what we do here. We talk about the deep stuff. Deep, 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 deep. And like I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee each and every Monday night. Every Monday night. It don't matter. I don't care if Boston Celtics are on. They just lost to the Heat anyway. So it don't matter. It don't matter. I do this each and every Monday night. But let's go ahead and move into quarter number one. We always start the show off since it's football season with week six review and rankings. Review and rankings. You know what? I've learned that I'm not going to any of the league websites. I'm just going to go straight here with the number one board. You know what I'm talking about, the Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com board, because we get all the results. We get all the results, and it's all in one place, unlike some of the league boards. It should be on the front page, but, that's just waste of time trying to find them. So let me get over here to the discussion, my discussion page, find out with week six results were, and then we go into the rankings. All right, here we go. Week six results. We got the Boston Militia, 62. New England Nightmare, 0. The DC Divas, 77. Northeastern Nitro, 0. We got the Philadelphia Liberty Bells, 28. Keystone Assault, 12. Columbus Comet, 36. Erie Illusion, 7. The Cleveland Fusion, 54. Pittsburgh Force, 0. By the game of the week, Chicago Force, 34. Kansas City Tribe, 26. I picked that one. I told you the running game is going to ground the air game. We got St. Louis Lamb, 36. West Michigan Mayhem, 6. The Toledo Reign, 63. Dayton Diamonds, 0. We got the Savannah Sabres, 7. Carolina Raging Wolves, 6. Congratulations to the Savannah Sabres. Got their first win. We got the Orlando Anarchy, 41. Gulf Coast Riptide, 14. We got the Palm Beach Punisher, 16. Tampa Bay Pirates, 8. We got the West. Oh, I pushed that too fast. My bad. We got the Wisconsin Wolves, 20. Kansas City Spartans, 8. Minnesota Machine, 6. Nebraska Stampede, 0. Definitely a lot closer game than anybody could imagine. We got the Dallas Diamonds, 31. Austin Outlaws, 21. We got the Little Rock Wildcats, 38. Zydeco, 8. Lone Star Mustangs, 89. Tulsa Eagles, 0. We got the Bay Area Bandits, 36. Portland Fighting Philly, 0. We got the Silver State Legacy, 44. Utah Blitz, 0. We got the Central Cal War Angels, 1-by-forfeit over the Los Angeles Amazons. And we talked about, forfeits last week. And I know that for a fact that was the first ever forfeit in the Amazon history. Hopefully Coach Duncan gets to get on board and maybe call in like he normally do. But, hey, it happens sometimes. If you ain't got enough players, you got to do what you do. We got the Pacific Warriors, 56. Las Vegas Showgirls, 6. Believe it or not, I didn't even know what the score was because we didn't have no scoreboard or no clock, so I didn't even know how many times they scored. But anyway, 56-6. We got the SoCal Scorpions, 12. San Diego Sting, 6 in overtime. We got the San Diego Surfers, 55, and Arizona Assassins, 20. I would definitely say that is a moral victory for the Assassins, being the first team to put up points, and not only put up points, but put up 20 points against the Surge. In the IWFL, we got the Montreal Blitz 25, Manchester Freedom 13, Houston Energy 34, North Texas Knockouts 12. We got the Iowa Crush 26, Minnesota Vixen 14, Philadelphia Firebirds 13, Baltimore Nighthawks 6. We got the Chattanooga Locomotion 42, Clarksville Fox 0. Small town putting up small numbers. That's not like the Clarksville Fox. They've been one of the top Tier 2 teams over the last 2-3 years over there, and I don't know what's going on. I haven't did no research on them, but that doesn't look good. We got the Portland Shockwave 12, and the Shockwave is shocking the Majestics 6. Man, that's what, 4 games in a row? Might even be 5 wins in a row for them Shockwaves. Not quite sure. We got the Memphis Belles 32, Tennessee Valley Tigers 6, Wisconsin Warriors 33, Madison Cougars 6, California Quake 30, Sacramento Sirens 13, Modesto Maniac 37, Southern California Breakers 0. Going into the WSFL, we got the Arkansas Rampage 36, Tampico Mudcats 6. Ooh, I had the Mudcats. I didn't know that. Here we go. We got the Ventura Black Widows 83, the Reno Rattlers 6. I am not sure if I missed anybody, but that's what we got on the Ning board. And Ning board is pretty close to the reality of what's going on. And I'm going to stick with that. And like I said, there were some nice games in there, some nice upsets, some nice victories, some close games. You know, it happens like that sometimes. So let's go ahead and move over to the I like to use my easy football rankings as a standard. And I usually do the top 20. So let's go over to WFA top 20. As of this past weekend, we got coming in at number 20. We got the Indy Crash. Number 19, we got the West Michigan Mayhem. 18, Columbus Comets. 17, Pacific Warriors. 16, Palm Beach Punishers. 15, the Houston Power. 14, Memphis with the F. Tennessee. We got 13 is the Minnesota Machine. At 12, we got the Arizona Assassins. At 11, we got the Boston Militia. At 10, we got the Kansas City Tribe. At 9, we got the Miami Fury. At 8, we got the St. Louis Slam. At 7, we got the Pittsburgh Passion. At 6, we got the Bay Area Bandits. At 5, the Jacksonville Dixie Blues. At 4, the Dallas Diamonds. At 3, the D.C. Divas, and coming in at number 2, moving their way up the charts, the San Diego Surge, and at number 1, we got the Chicago Force. Teams that are not in the top 20 that have fallen out, you got last year's champions, the Lone Star Mustangs, New York Shark, 25, I'm just highlighting some teams that, you know, hey, that maybe fallen off, fallen down. And the Liberty Bells have come in at 34. So, again, you know, some of the top teams that aren't in the top of the rankings, you know, falling down. And, you know, hey, even them showgirls are at 39. So we still in the middle of the pack, y'all. We still in the middle of the pack. Like I said, this ain't a Las Vegas showgirl show. This is a women's football. So, you know, I try to be fair with everybody on that. But there was a couple of teams that were in the tops. Let's go over the top 15 teams for the IWFL due to the fact that it's 2019, so we'll do a third. Well, actually, it'd be more like a half. So here we go. Coming in at 15, we got the Seattle Majestics. At 14, Modesto Maniac. At 13, the Madison Cougars. At 12, Philadelphia Firebirds. At 11, Memphis Belles. At 10, the Sacramento Sirens. At 9, the New England Intensity. At 8, the Portland Shockwaves. At 7, we got the Houston Energy moving their way up the charts. We got number 6, Chattanooga Locomotion. At 5, we got the California. Oh, by the way, I'll say California. We got the Carolina Phoenix. Got a question that one. At number 4, we got the Montreal Blitz. At number 3, we got the Wisconsin Warriors. At number 2, we got the Atlanta Ravens. And at number 1, We got them California Quake. All right. Let me see if there's any rankings for the WSFL. At this moment, there is none, so there will not be any rankings. So I answered that question, didn't I? But that's the rundown for week six, y'all. The rundown for week six went down like that. It's like that, and that's the way it is. Like I said, it was some hard-fought games. There were some blowouts. There were some surprises. There were some upsets. That's what football is all about. And on any given Saturday, you never know what's going down. Because when it goes down, it goes down. But I'm going to move on and get on with the show. Well, I did quarter number one. I forgot to tell you what the show is all about. And quarter number one, of course, was a review of week six in the rankings. Quarter number two was only more than one team. I got a great email about that, and I'm going to give you my thoughts. Quarter number three, another email was sent to me about changing the rules so that the girls can pass the ball. And quarter number four, prayer and football. Does it go together? All right, let's go ahead. Move on. Quarter number two. Got an email regarding owning more than one football teams. Coach Lee, what are your thoughts about owning more than one team in any particular league? Is it a distraction? Is it an issue with them playing each other? I really believe it is. I'm just hitting the email real quick. What are your thoughts on that? Well, my thoughts is this, about owning more than one team. For one, you just ask yourself to have double the debt. How about that? Is it a good idea? It all depends on what your goal is. Again, a lot of teams out there in their mission statement is giving the women the opportunity, and I underline that, the opportunity to play football. If that's the reason behind owning more than one team, then you're fulfilling your goal, giving women the opportunity to play. You know, if your goal is to make money, it ain't going to happen. You know, I think some of the concerns might be, and like I said, I put it out there, in the WFA we do have a ownership group that owns three teams. That will be the Lone Star Mustangs, the Arkansas team, not Arkansas team. Man, come on, Deion, get your facts together, man. Get your facts together. But they own, let me give you my list here. I got to find my list. See what happens when you do research. When you don't do research and you don't write down notes, then you can remember everything like you're young. And I'm not young anymore, so I can't remember all the teams that are owned by the Lone Star Mustangs group. Like I said, I don't know what corporation it is. I don't know if it's a separate entity, but I give you my understanding of why after I give you the name of the teams first. Okay? All right, let me go down the list right quick. We got the Tulsa Eagles is one team, and the Little Rock Wildcats. There we go. There you go, Coach Lee. Get it together. Lone Star Mustangs ownership group owns all three teams. And, you know, the question is, do you think it's right to be able to own three teams? And being that they play against each other, are you padding your stats for your main team or what? I know the Ellingtons real well. As a matter of fact, I talked to them 3 years ago here in Vegas. They happened to be in Vegas on a vacation. They knew I was in town. They called me up. I met them at the Luxor. We met down in the lobby, and we sat down, and we talked for about 2.5 hours about women's football, where it's going, all the other good stuff. And we shared some great ideas together. And, you know, expanding football was our thing. Their concept was similar to mine. Just to give you an example, I'm living in Vegas and Duncan lives in L.A., and then we got an Arizona team, and we wanted a team, say, in northern Arizona to make it best for the team. Then all three of us bring a van full of girls out there, do a tryout, get the media, and get people to be interested in football, and then, of course, find a ownership group to take over. I.e., same thing that Kathleen Masters did in the NWFL. Okay? So, concept-wise, it's great. You know, you're trying to cut down costs. We all know that what kills teams is travel. So if you can get teams in major cities, in between major cities, then that's great, you know, or outskirts of major cities. But to cut the travel costs down. So I understand what they're doing in that aspect. Do I know that they're going to be long-term owners, or were they just trying to get it started and then hopefully find an ownership group to to finance and take over? I don't know. But that's their prerogative. I don't see nothing wrong with owning as many teams as you possibly can afford. Like I say, you're double dipping and you're double tripping, you know, because it ain't no money to be made, but you're trying to save some money. So I totally understand now. I guess this weekend, the Elgins played their own team. The score was pretty ugly, 89-0, so you know that there was no favoritism going on. You know, Coach Mike coaches the Lone Star Mustangs, and that's what he coached. He doesn't coach the other teams. I know Emery is probably the general manager of all three teams, watching financial things and stuff like that. But it's up to the coaches that are coaching, and hopefully the Elgins put some good coaches in place to make that happen. But, again, my personal feeling is there's nothing wrong with owning dual teams. You know, the fact is you're trying to save money. Now, just because it's a new team, does that mean that it's going to be a sorry team or, you know, whatever? No, it's up to the coaches and the management of that team to upgrade and get out and recruit just like they would their regular team and put the best possible athletes on the team as possible. Is it padding stats? I don't think so. Again, if you're in it for the real reason, and that's to coach football, to give women the opportunity to play football, and then coaching them up to the best of your ability, then it is what it is on the football field. If it ends in 89-0, then it ends 89-0. If it ends 14-13, it ends 14-13. That's totally up to the coaching staff that can make that decision based on them coaching up the girls. Let's see, I'm trying to read into the email a little bit more. Again, I want to thank you all that are on the Ning board. I want to thank you guys who are, you know, on the Blog Talk Radio board. And again, you can always call in if you got any questions or concerns. 347-826-7278. That's 7278. 347-826-7278. Please feel free to call in. You know, it's all good. Like I said, you know, I got somebody on here. Is it a conflict for owners of a league to own or have interest in teams in a league, too? I mean, that one I could say yes to, because now you're putting another team. Oh, yeah, and press 1 if you want to talk. My bad. Sorry about that, BJ. I'm just going back to the Ning board. One of the coaches on the board had made an example out of that. In my opinion, yes, there is a conflict of interest. The reason why, and again, these are my humble opinions. So like I said, what I say just is what I say from the heart. There's nothing personal or anything. But I think that any owner or commissioner of a league that have any interest in a team or coaching a team, there's a conflict. Again, just from outside in, I would think, wow, you know, you're collecting all this money, and then all of a sudden your team is getting all these new uniforms and you know, getting players to come in from other towns and whatever to play. You know, am I funding that? Am I funding, you know, that type of team? You know, which I don't care. But, again, that's not only in my mind. I'm pretty sure that's in 99.99% of the other owners and coaches' minds as well, you know. But, yes, it is a conflict. You know, everybody keeps asking me or keep hearing the rumor that I'm starting up a league called League 96. And I'm like, no. I love coaching too much. I love coaching too much to go start a league. You know, again, if I start a league, I'm not going to have a team in it because there's not going to be a conflict. You know, you can't have a conflict. You don't know how the refs are. You know, hey, that's the commissioner of the league. Oh, that's the owner of the league, and he's coaching that team. I can't throw this flag. Or if he yells at me, you know, or she yells at me, whatever is the case, then there's a problem. And I've heard that complaint, you know, intimidating and all this other stuff. But the bottom line is you can't own a league or be a commissioner of a league and have any interest in any of the teams. So to drop the rumor about Coach Lee, you know, starting his own league. Let's go ahead and put that to a stop right now. Unless I'm not owning the team or coaching the team, I will not start a league. Okay, but again, the conflict of interest is you got money coming in, and then you're seeing a team that becomes superior to the team that you're coaching. You know, be it in equipment, be it leveraging playoffs, be it leveraging schedules. It's just so many conflicts that people would just try to harp on. And I know, you know, again, people want to know, what are you talking about, Coach Lee? This is my first time listening to you. You know, folks in the WFA, we have to deal with Jeff and Lisa King. They're the owner of the league, commissioner of the league, all that stuff. Lisa's a player. Jeff is a former coach of another team. I don't know if he's coaching up at the Angels. Don't know. Don't really care. But I'm just answering the question. Just answering the question that's here. And like I said, I know there's 99.99% of the people who are thinking that. I'm just the one who's speaking it. I mean, that's why I'm loved and hated at times, because I speak the truth. I just speak the real. I don't worry about consequences. But that's the fact. That's how people are seeing it. You know, if you're going to be an owner, you're going to be, you know, is it a conflict to be the owner and the head coach? Because that's another question that's been thrown out at me. No, because the main objective as an owner is to win. The main objective as a head coach is to win. So we got the same objectives to win. Ownership maybe be hands-off. Maybe they don't know football. They don't know X's and O's. But they might know marketing. They might know proper proper mechanisms in the stands to get people in the stands, you know, saying hello and all that other good stuff. You know, there's some coaches and owners like myself who feel that there is no better coach out there. You know, I've coached on many coaching staff with some dumb coaches. I really have. And that's not only just women's football. I'm just talking about football in general. So I don't see it as a conflict. Why do I don't? Because I'm in that position. I don't mix my ownership skills and my coaching skills and stuff like that. I don't do it. I deal with one at a time. My general manager, when I'm on the football field, is the one who makes those decisions. Now, if it's a non-practice, a non-game, and we're talking about ownership and talking about marketing and stuff like that, then I'm involved in it. I just like to be hands-in. So, again, that's just my perspective. Again, like I said, you can always Facebook me at Deion A. Lee on Facebook. You can hit me here at the Ning Board, Coach Lee. You can hit me at Las Vegas Showgirls at yahoo.com. You can hit me at Women's Football Camp at yahoo.com. You can call me on my own cell phone or text me at 702-764-8878. You know, like I said, drop those numbers. It doesn't matter. Drop the questions. That's what we're here for. We're here to learn. BJ, I'm not sure if we got anybody on the line, but if so, let me know. If not, I can move on because, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Time flies if you're having fun, only when you're having fun. Hot dogs. All right, let me take a sip of my, what am I drinking today? Dr. Pepper, 23 natural flavors. Dr. Pepper, I'm a pepper, you a pepper, we a pepper, we all should be pepper peppers. But we all good. So, again, we can come back to this topic. If you got any questions about it, again, it's about owning more than one team in one league, then it turned into a league owner or commissioner having interest in a team or even playing on a team. So, again, we keep it open. We keep it open, but we're going to move on because, like I said, it's halftime. It's halftime, and we got to make some adjustments. And while it's halftime, we're going to move on in. Move on in. I got another email for quarter number three. I love you, Bill. Yeah, who cares who owns the team? Exactly. The players play, the coaches coach. Who cares who owns the league? I mean, not the league, but the teams. Again, I'm referring to folks who are on the Ning Board. Like I said, every Monday night we rock this place. We rock four quarters with Coach Lee. And like I said, we got about 17 to 19 people over on the Ning Board charming in and, you know, throwing ideas out there and making comments. And, like I said, I welcome you all. But quarter number three, changing the rules so girls can pass the ball. Got an email from my man John. John stated that we should change the rules so girls can pass the ball. We should change the rules so girls can pass the ball. As a coach, I'm like, oh, hell no. Why are we going to change the rules? Most defenses out there run a man-to-man coverage anyway. But they run man-to-man coverage. That's what you want as an offensive coordinator. Now, what am I implying? I'm implying that football is football. Play ball. Toss it up. Throw it up. Run it up. Do what you got to do. Most teams run what they're comfortable running. Most teams run what the OC or the head coach knows. If the head coach and OC don't know how to pass, I guarantee you that the team doesn't know how to pass. If you don't work on passing the ball in practice, you're not going to be successful in the game with passing the ball. You're only as good as what you work on. Now, coach, why are you talking like that? Because I'm talking like this because I've been through it. I'm a defensive-minded coach. I come from the defense side of the ball. Even though I was a running back, I was a wide receiver, I played defensive back. I wanted to get a scholarship as a defensive back. I wanted to play in D-back in college. Then I went to kickoff return. Then I went to offense again. You know? So, again, I played all three aspects of the football. But you're only as good as what you practice. You know? I started off running the ball because I was in layman terms, one of those males that figured that women couldn't do. As I got into practice with them and start testing them out and say, hey, you know what, can you do this? And they start doing it. I'm like, well, hell, let's coach up some real football around here. You know? And we put in the spread option offense in our second game of the season. The first game, we tried to do power, but we didn't have the players to run a power game in 2006. When we played against the SoCal Scorpion, they were bigger than us. They were stronger than us. And I had to do something to combat that. I said, you know what? Let's go what's difficult as a defensive coordinator. What's difficult to stop? The passing game. Spread people out. Put your athletes in open space. Get them the ball by any means. And let's roll with it. So from that point on, we started working on our passing game. I mean, our practice was 80% pass practice going against our secondary. Our secondary was one of the better secondaries in the country. I've had an All-American free safety or corner every year that I've coached, an outside linebacker. So when you go against passing real a lot, you become a good passer. Okay? The weakest position in women's football is the secondary right now. The reason why is because the women aren't used to backpedaling. They're not used to turning and running. They're not used to going up and getting the ball at the high point. The other thing is, they don't know how to play zone. They don't know how to play zone defense. They don't understand. When somebody runs through your zone, it becomes man again up to a certain point. What winds up happening is the ladies stay in certain areas and you just run into the lanes, into the seams, and you throw the ball. The last three years, with the exception of this year, we've been throwing the ball like crazy. I've had the top quarterback in any league on my team. And she wasn't much of a quarterback when we first started, but as she got experience, as the game started slowing down, as she started understanding what cover one, cover two, cover three, cover two man, cover three, cloud and cover four, and you know, you name it, make it up. Once you start understanding that and going to the board, understanding where the weaknesses of the defenses are and where we're plotting our players to be, you know, she's thrown over 4,500 yards in 3 years. That's not bad for someone who said they can't throw. We've had three wide receivers that had 500 yards and over 30 catches each. The bottom line is, if you don't practice it, it don't get done. Same thing with running the ball. If you don't practice running the ball, you don't practice run blocking, it doesn't happen. So why would we change the rules when, as an offensive coordinator, we got what we want, man-to-man coverage? Now, are some of the balls that are thrown ducks? Yes. How many quarterback coaches are out there on your team? Are you teaching them how to three-step and then step into their throw? You know, if you got a softball player like I do, I have a second baseman, and she loves throwing off her back foot because in baseball, it's just natural for you to touch the base with your lead foot as you're running away from the base and throwing off your jump foot. Well, in football, that's not the case. You can't throw a football the same way you throw a softball. And she tries to arm it all the time. But when you try to arm a football and you don't have any touch on it, then it comes out like a duck. It just wobbles all over the place. So, again, if you ain't got nobody there to explain to your quarterback how she should be throwing the ball and how she should be stepping up to it, you know, stepping into it to throw it. And to throw it deep, you need your whole body, not your arm. There is no woman out there that can just arm a 40-yard pass, just stand there and arm it. She's got to step back and step into it and bring the leverage from the bottom of her feet all the way to the tip of her fingers as she throws the ball. So, again, I'm totally against changing the rules. You know, I want to see football the way it's meant to be played, and that's point blank it. If I'm a fan, because I'm a fan of football, and if I go to a game with rules that are different, then I'm not interested in the game because that's something I got to learn now. The reason why a lot of football leagues don't work because they're gimmicky. XFL, good example, gimmicky rules. All-star games, gimmicky rules. That's why it's only one all-star game instead of several all-star games, you know, because the rule is hard to understand now watching this type of football. We still play NFL rules when it can bump within 5 yards. So if you got a physical corner that bumps a girl, as long as she gets outside the 5 yards, now she's free to not to be touched. What more could you ask for? If she gets hit again, it's illegal contact downfield, or if she gets hit as the ball's coming, it's pass interference. So again, should they change the rule? No. We've already got a smaller ball, which is great. We already got to have only one foot in, which is great. Outside of that, it's football. That's what we coach in. Football. Let's look at the lingerie league. It has gimmicky rules. But there's a lot of people that don't like it because it does have gimmicky rules. You know, but again, that's not what it's all about. It's not about rules. It's about what? Sex. So, you got it. So that's what that's all about. So, again, I am not in favor of changing the rules. My thing is coach them up. It's back on you, coaches. Can you teach your girls how to throw the ball? How much time do you put into it? You know, again, I think I think John had mentioned, well, how can you improve with only 2 days a week of practice? Spend more time doing it. That's all I can say. How do a high school quarterback get better? Spend more time doing it. He goes to camps. He gets instructions from a quarterback coach. A lot of those things can take place. You know, stop being lazy coaches out there. Teach these women how to play football. I know there's a bunch of coaches out there that just go to practice and we run plays. And not even giving them the concept of why we run the play or what's the philosophy of our offense and why we do this. I spend more time giving instructions to for this particular group that I have now because they don't understand everything. Last year, we didn't have to worry about that. We were above that already. We were moving on into bigger and better things. Well, we can make adjustments on the field, and everybody knew what those adjustments were, you know, just by looking. I got it. There we go. Sorry about that.
I got the keys in my head.
I know. It worked like that. You know, so again, the more playing time the players have, the more coaching and teaching they're getting, the lot easier it is for them to adjust and make those adjustments. So again, I am not in favor of changing the rules. I know there's a lot of coaches out there that are not in favor of the rules. You know, here on the West Coast, we can pass the ball more often. We have better weather. There's teams on the East Coast that practice outside and it's still 40 below. You know, nobody wants to pass the ball in 40 below weather. You don't want to catch the ball like a rock. So, again, sometimes your climate, your region that you're in dictate, you know, what you can and can't do. West Coast offense is based for what? West Coast teams, you know. Why? Because we have the weather to practice outdoors. There's people that can't practice outdoors yet. You know, they're still indoors in the gym. So how can you really get a passing game going when you're practicing indoors on a minimum field? So, again, there's a lot of things that come into play of why women haven't been throwing the ball. But I know there are teams out there. I've gone against teams out there that can toss the ball up. Yes, our percentages aren't high on pass and catch percentages. You know, nobody's throwing 80% passes. You know, there's some teams that are out there throwing, you know, 65, 70, which is great. You give me one NFL team, that's about where they're at. But, yes, our passes are a little bit shorter. You know, some teams run that bubble screen to death. KC tried, you know. I wasn't that style of coach. We went deep. We hit you on the slant. We hit you on a hitch. We hit you on a post corner. We hit you on a bomb. You know, we hit you on a drag. I mean, we brought the whole package. It can be done. This year we had to change our offense because we had to scale it down. Certain athletes can't do what they need to get done because the game is going too fast for them. But trust me, you get a team that's been around for 2-3 years together, a core group of receivers and a quarterback, I guarantee you they'll be able to pass. How do I know? Because I've done it. Been there. Done it. I speak from doing it. So that's about it, you guys. I'm not a big rule changer. I don't want to manipulate the game so much that I can't recognize what it is. And, ladies, you just got to step your game up. If you want to be a wide receiver, you got to catch the ball. You got to learn how to dive. You got to learn how to go up, you know, with the proper hands. You need to learn how to run and underneath the ball. You know, you need to go after the ball. There's a lot of things that we can do, you know. But, again, the weakest part of women's football, from a coach's perspective, is secondary. You might have a good free safety, but it ain't nobody that got two awesome corners, a strong safety and a free safety. They just don't have it. There's always a weakness in the secondary. It's like there's a weakness on the O-line. You know, most of your passive girls play the O-line. Most of the girls who have no skills, guess where they play? O-line. Because you're trying to cover them up, but you're trying to get them playing time. You know, it's easy to hide somebody in the O-line. But it ain't easy to hide a weak defensive back. And trust me, I go after you. I know a weak defensive back. I'm going after it. You know, and that's what we did. We exploited what the defense had. And that's why we were able to do some things that we were able to do. And that's why we haven't been able to do some of the things that I would like to do. We just don't have the experience to get it done. So, again, I ain't changing no rules for nobody. You shouldn't be changing no rules for nobody. Coach them up, shut them up, and just play ball. All right, we're going to move on, because like I said, time flies when you're rocking fourth quarter with Coach Lee. And we are in quarter number four already. Hot diggity 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 dogs. But anyway, in quarter number four, prayer and football. Coach Lee, why did you bring up prayer and football? Well, because, again, a lot of topics have to do with some of the things that I deal with. Okay? I was told that I am a sore loser because after the game, I don't pray with the teams. And that's a great custom. That's great. But my personal beliefs, all set aside from football, I don't pray on the football field. I don't pray. Not a sore loser, win or lose. Look at every tape after every game, be it win or lose, where Coach Lee's at. I'm on the sideline. I'm doing whatever. I go shake everybody's hand. I don't go straight to prayer. I talk to my players real quick, and if they decide they want to pray, that's on them. But as a team's prayer, I'm not in it. That's not me. That's just personal. That's me. I don't think prayer and football go together. I think it's a contradiction. That's just me. You know? Yes, I'm glad that people didn't get hurt. But, yes, you know what? Guess what? Some people do get hurt after the game. You know, I can't pray before the game. Why am I going to wish good upon my team and not with the other team? You know? So, again, there's some beliefs that, you know, that might sound odd, but that's just me. But to hear that I'm a sore loser because I didn't pray with the team, and it wasn't just this weekend. This was weekends before, too. I hear it. But I'm not a sore loser. I just don't believe that prayer and football go together. And I'm not going to stop somebody from their religion. If that's what they choose to do, that's their option. And that's the same thing with me. I have the option to either sit there and listen, sit there and pray, or respect everybody by leaving because that's not my belief. Call me what you want to call me, but I'm not going to be called a hypocrite. That's consistent with me. You know, just like there's no prayer in school. You know, school district had to realize that. Them taking the word, one liberty, or not liberty, under God, in the Pledge of Allegiance, because it's offensive to some people's religion. Everybody don't pray to a God or to God or believe that God is he or her. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole bunch of reasons why. But I just had to throw that out there because, again, you know, everybody asks about prayer after a game. You know, what is the consistency? What is the consensus of what people want to do? And, again, that's their freedom of choice. That's why we live in America, to do as you please within reason. And I'm just being respectful as a person who doesn't believe in prayer on the football field to go ahead and excuse myself. So I just wanted to put that out there. Like I said, there's a lot of contradictions out there. And like I said, I just do what I do. I am what I am. I be what I be. You know, that's why my middle name. What's my middle name this week? Well, my nickname is Fleetly. How about that? I'll just put it like that. So, again, you can call in. You can drop in your knowledge, 347-826-7278. What's your belief? What do you think? You know, do prayer and football go together? You know, is football a Christian sport? Is it a Muslim sport? Is it a Buddhist sport? Because you know what? You got all those nationalities in there. I mean, not nationalities, but religions in there. You know, I'm just saying, I just don't want to be offended or offensive towards anybody when I do that. And I actually make the announcement. When the announcement is made, hey, let's huddle up and do it. I just tell them nicely and kindly, you know what, that's something I don't do. You guys can go ahead and get it done. I'll talk to you guys afterwards. I think that's very respectful to tell somebody. I don't just say, throw my middle finger up and say, deuces. No. Those who are getting the circle together, I make it a point to say, hey, you guys go ahead and take care of it. You get it done. But sore loser, I am not. Losing is part of life. You know, we lose somebody every day that we know. We lose something every day, our cell phone. I lost mine last week. Went a whole week without it. You know. So, again, that is a touchy situation. Prayer and football, be it before the game, during the game. You know, think about this. Football players, ladies, gentlemen, that are talking, listening. Why do we go on the knee when somebody get hurt? Can somebody explain that one to me? Can somebody please explain that one to me? Because I am not sure why people get on the knee when the player get hurt. I know that's something that cheerleaders did on the sideline, but I've never been a part of football where we got on the knee when another player got hurt. I mean, we removed ourselves from the situation, and most of the time the coaches will call us over to the sideline, you know, using it as a timeout. But every time a player gets hurt, I see people on knees around the player, near the player, and don't move. I don't know if it's a form of prayer or what. It might be a sign of respect. I don't know, but that's just something that I don't know, that I've noticed over the last 6 years, and I've never been able to explain that. I've never told my players to take a knee when a player got hurt. They just do it to be doing it. You know? So there's a lot of things that aren't explained or that are known. But, you know, I understand what taking a knee is. It's a respectful thing. You know? But don't harp on somebody's belief, religion, when it's dealing with football. Just can't do it. Follow through on what you believe. Do what you do. As long as it's respectful, it's all good. It's all good. Again, do what you do. Be respectful. And call it what it is. But calling it what it is when you don't know what it is, when I ain't, i.e. sore loser? No. This happens when I win, when I lose. It's just what I do. Again, you're rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. I just tell you how it is. You might not agree. You might not like it. But if you ask, I will respond. You ask, I will respond. You know, like I said, time is flying. We got more people in the room, which is great. Which is great. I'm trying to see if anybody got any questions or concerns. If anybody wanted to add anything, you can dial in 347-826-7278. Again, 347-826-7278. For some reason, my computer is locked. I don't even know if anybody's been responding. But we'll find out in a minute because I just refreshed my computer. And it was locked up for a minute. Heck yeah. Sorry about that, people in the Ning world. My computer was locked up, and I haven't been seeing what was going on since 7:30. So I thought the board was dead. So let me go back. We had some questions. Let me see. Sorry about that, Ning board. You guys had me locked up. Coach Bill, you're nuts, man. Some of the comments you make, you are nuts. I don't know what Bill said. Hit me up, Bill. You surprised that Dion didn't say it? Say what? That something stinks. Okay, I see what you're talking about. Hey, like I said, it is funny. It is funny on the Ning board. It's funny to get people involved and see their thoughts. Coach Colrad, why at the end of a women's football game do they line up like little league teams and go tell each other good game? I'm telling my whole team to take the field and go talk to who they want to, just like I did in high school and semi-pro ball. To help you out, Coach Cover, on that one, I've suggested that before, too. At the end of the game, you shouldn't have to line up at the 50-yard line. We're adults. Go walk and talk to who you want to talk to, because sometimes you don't want to touch somebody. You want to high-five somebody that dogged you out. I mean, it's called sportsmanship, but it's poor sportsmanship, however you want to call it. But you have the right to go talk to whom you want to. It's just a mutual respect thing. But, again, you got to realize, a lot of women who watch football, who play football, go ahead, have lined up because that's what their sons and daughters have done. That's all you know. We put those in the thing, too. Yeah. Yeah, I'll put them away. You need my keys?
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. Now lock those up, too.
Okay.
All right. So, again, to help answer Coach Culver, hey, if you just do what you've seen being done before. I had to be my best. What's up, Debbie D's in the house? I didn't see you were here. Tradition. Yeah, some people traditionally pray after the game. That's Lone Star Mustangs that talk about tradition, just like mingling in prayer at the end of the game we do here. It's tradition. I'm just going through. Sorry about this. Here we go, JK. Also, she wonder why we hit a knee, you know. I'd rather be standing, too, because I don't want to get cramped up. I love food. Food, you're such a clever cat on the tight tees. I can't repeat that, but it's all good. All right. I'm not saying anybody that really got any questions. They're making comments, which is great. You know what? That's what the Ning board is for, you know. This is what the Ning board is all about, you guys, to be able to use dialogue and talk about things that we don't know. But you know what? I'm a controversial type of dude. You know, I don't stand back for nobody. I don't step on nobody's toes. But I also don't back down to anybody, you know, I had a great conversation this weekend with Coach from the Warriors. A couple of things were said prior to our game, from the last game. And like I said, afterwards, once we talk to each other, I mean, we talk about 20 minutes, and it's all good because we have mutual respect for each other. And it's nothing personal. It's just the heat of the moment, you know. I explained to him what I thought was kind of cheesy, you know, as far as what I consider running up a score in comparison to what, you know, my complaints with the surge in comparison to his game was totally different. You know, when you put in a second string and you're playing to play football, that's great. But when you leave your first team in and you're still, you know, trying to throw the ball 80 yards on stuff like that, that's where, you know, it's BS. But, you know, when two gentlemen can get together and say, hey, this is how I express myself, and we can be able to shake hands and walk away, even if he think I'm an asshole, I might still think he's an asshole, but at least we got to talk. Don't know where that came from, but damn, from the conversation here. But like I said, I always go to the horse's mouth. When I don't know, I go to the horse's mouth. All right, Coach Colbert, Deion is more professional. I didn't see the Bears get in line to congratulate the Coach when they got beat in the Super Bowl. No, they didn't. Like I said, we all different, you know. I line up because the other team is lining up. Mentality. And you got to type in too fast. I'm trying to go down this thing. All right. Nobody really got anything. Wait, Bill had something to say. What did Bill say? That's right, you guys. Hey, it's coming. The show is winding down. It's getting to the point where, you know what, we're going to wrap this bad boy up. I don't know if there's anybody out there that got any questions or concerns. Like I said, you can always call in 347-826-7278. But guess what? That's the music, y'all. We about to put a wrap on this show. Like I said, I talk about eating everything. I'll do what needs to be done because I want to open up the minds of those who are across the board who are thinking about improving women's football. You know, like I said, these are my opinions. You know, you ain't got to agree. We can agree to disagree. It don't matter. But as long as we have some dialogue, we can work towards doing things. I know people always talk about, well, they're jealous of me. Just talk to the horse and hear from the horse's mouth. That's the best thing to do. That's the best thing to do is to just straight up go talk to somebody. Go talk to the one who made it. You know what I'm saying? That's how you deal with problems. That's how you deal with issues. That's how you deal with your coaches. That's how you deal with your players. Be straight up with them. Let them know. Be respectful. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? Players are going to come. Players are going to go. It's a matter of how you... Uh-oh, give me a call when you... Oh, that's somebody else. My bad. All right, so I'm finishing up, y'all. I'll be back next week, hopefully 3-3. And like I said, we working, we moving, we shaking, we baking. You rocking 4 quarters, Coach Lee, each and every Monday night, no matter what. Sick, hurt, beat down, winning, losing. I just do what I do because that's how I do it. I'm out of here. Peace. Not my fault that they're falling off. Noon is fair and square throughout my